Hey, everybody, Mark Yeagy coming to you from Athens, Greece right now. And I've got a lot to say about what's going on in the world and how I think the Fed is kind of breaking the world economy. Stay tuned for the next edition here of the Wealth Architect podcast. It's Mark Yeagy here, Wealth Architect and Lifestyle Investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect podcast. Hey, everybody, Mark Yeagy here. I help 7- and 8-figure investors play offense and defense in their finances. And now is a great time to be playing defense, because let me tell you what's going on. You've probably heard me say this before, and it's kind of the mantra on the street. The Fed is out there raising rates at an unprecedented rate, 0.75 percentage point, right? So 75 basis points, it's called. They've done it 3 times in a row. And I think what they're trying to do, without saying this, and this is what the street believes, is that they're trying to break the economy. So they're trying to see, so they're like a kid that goes into the store and he starts breaking little things and he sees if anybody's noticed. And then he's like, let's break this little bigger thing. Let's break this bigger thing. And pretty soon somebody notices and they're like, that's too late. They've already broken so many things. And I think that's what the Fed is doing. They screwed us up all the way down. They lowered rates and kept them low way too long. And then now they don't have any bullets left. The only bullet they have is to raise the Fed funds rate. And they've done it 3 times in a row at an unprecedented rate. It's gone up 13 times. Even Paul Volcker in 1980 only raised it, a fraction of that, like 3 times. Actually, I think it was even less. And so whatever it is, he's raising it just an unprecedented amount. The problem is, there is so much debt, over almost $31 trillion that the U.S. owes, that every time you raise it, you owe more in interest because of the refinancing of the new bonds. And so when you put out something that creates extra overhead, you've got to print even more money to pay the interest on those bonds. That's going to end up catching up. You can't have something for nothing. It's just a law of physics. And the Fed apparently is following this MMT, this modern monetary theory, that basically says, don't worry, dollars just, fall from the sky and you just keep creating zeros in people's accounts and bank accounts and they lend more money and create even more debt and all that's fine. Eventually, it comes home to roost. It has in 700 plus currencies that I've studied. It has every time in history that we've ever had fiat currency, and fiat means by decree. And when a government does something by decree, eventually people wise up and they don't value it anymore. And that's what's going on now. And you're starting to see things break. So let me just give you some quick glossing over, because I don't want to go too far into this, but it's important to know. And maybe you don't care about what's going on in Japan or China or Europe or Britain. Maybe you don't care. And it's okay not to care. You can go on with your life. But if you know a little bit, maybe you can prepare. And my investors are people that like to prepare. And so that's why I make these recordings, because I want them to prepare and I want you to prepare as well if you're not one of my investors. So let's start with the Bank of Japan. So the Bank of Japan, the yen is crashing, right? The yen is crashing. So are other currencies against the dollar right now. In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king, right? And so we have the dollar, which is the nicest house in a crappy neighborhood, right? And that happens to be where everybody's moving to because we're the world's reserve currency still. We're losing that, but that's what everybody trades in around the world. And so as the dollar increases, these other currencies are all rushing to get to the dollar. Well, they need more and more and more of them to buy the dollar because nobody wants to accept these currencies, like the Turkish lira, for example. They have 100% official inflation rate. It's about 400% because I just visited there, unofficial. But officially, they're now saying, hey, we got 100% inflation, which means that everything doubles in cost every single year. In fact, when I was there, a lot of places didn't even have menus that had prices on them. You would just go in and they would tell you what the price is for that day, because the next day it would change. It would have to go up because of the devaluation of the lira. It's happening around the world. And we don't know about it in the United States because we don't get the press from around the world. It's one of the reasons I travel, is I get to see actually on the ground what's going on in these different countries. So the yen is crashing. Why is the yen crashing? Well, the yen has been in a recession basically for 30 years. They don't have population increase. They don't have workers. Their population is aging. They got problems. And so what they've been doing, especially lately, is they've just been printing money. Well, that money printing press is accelerating. The money is becoming worth less and less and less. And so what is the Bank of Japan doing? They're buying more bonds of their own bonds, and they're using their own money to do it. It's like they're taking it out of one pocket and putting it in the other. Problem is, they're losing energy with that. And when you do that, it devalues the bond. People are like, oh, they'll just keep buying the bond. They'll just keep printing money into oblivion and at infinity. And at the end of the day, they'll buy our bonds. Well, that means they're worth less and less. So the currency recognizes that. And the 20-year yield in Japan is over 1%. It's the first time it's happened since 2015. Okay, data point number one. Hey, it's Mark Yeagy here to tell you about our Cash Flow Machine trading program that's designed to teach you how to make safe, reliable income. Now, we shoot for 2 to 4% a month of income and growth in your portfolio. And we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of that is it only takes about 20 minutes a week to implement. Now, while 2 to 4% a month doesn't sound like much, I show you exactly how we took my IRA from $111,000 to over $500,000 in just 19 months without huge risk. I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io. That's cashflowmachine.io, and you can learn more. Data point number two. The S&P 500, our own S&P 500, is down 23.3% this year. That's the fourth worst start in history. So if you think everything's going along great, like they're telling you, I don't know, the data is starting to pile up and say it isn't. All right, so that's just another one. That's over here. All right, so then we've got mortgages. Mortgages, like you could have gotten a mortgage a year ago for 2%, 2.5%, 3%. Mortgages are now 6.3%. They're almost to 7%. They're pushing 7%. And they will be at 7% soon. And so the housing prices are now starting to feel it because people aren't buying houses. Because why? Because their mortgage cost is going to be almost 7% when just a year ago it was like 2, 2.5, or 3, whatever you want to call it. And so now prices are starting to feel it. You're going to start seeing a rollover in the real estate market. It's going to crush. When the real estate market rolls over, it crushes everything. Remember 2007, 2008? Everything got crushed because real estate got crushed. So I don't know if it's going to be that bad. I don't even know what all this stuff means. All I can know is things are bad right now and they're starting to break. And I think it's because the Fed and all the other central banks are purposely breaking them. Okay. So then we've got the 10-year yield. Our own 10-year yield has had a surge in yields, right? That's been the worst since COVID crash. So back in, you know, early March or February, we had this big crash back in the beginning of 2020. And that was the bellwether time for the yield on the bonds. And our 10-year yields on the bonds just surged at a record rate, okay, since that time. All right, so that's another thing. So now we've got the British pound. And the GBP is now crashing because they're doing more money printing over there. You know, they had exit a few years ago, Brexit, they called it. And they exited the European Union. They happened to do it at a pretty lousy time because now there's a global recession going on because of some trade wars, because of supply chain issues, because of Putin's invasion, because of the embargo on gas to Europe, and costs are going to go up incredibly, and Europe's going to go into this big recession. And so the pound is decreasing as well. And so they're crashing, they're printing more money. And they basically said, you know what? We're not going to do anything for 2 or 3 years. And the market's like, oh, you're not. And so they just start selling off all their bonds. So the pound is crashing. And I'm here in Europe right now. And a year ago when I was here in Europe, it was $1.17 to buy a euro. Now it's 96 cents. So the euro is crashing as well, down 20% in a year. That's because what I just mentioned, the European economy is, I think they're coming apart, but they're coming apart because of energy. Now, energy has always been the measure of a healthy economy. We don't grow our economies in the world. We never have in society's history unless we have quality energy product. And our energy has gotten more and more dense. So we used to have sun and wind, you know, 1,000 years ago. That's how we sailed around. And we used to use the sun to heat our water and things like that. And then we started to find different fuels, wood, and then we moved to other fuels, you know, petroleum and kerosene and lamps, and then candles and things like that. And then we found oil, and oil is a very dense form of energy. And then we've got nuclear, which is another dense form of energy. And so apparently we want to go back to the Middle Ages and use solar and wind, because apparently that solves all the problems. But you're seeing the problems because we've tried to go back to solar and wind, right? Germany moved their whole economy to solar and wind and started to shut down their nuclear power plants. France did the same thing. And now they can't get energy. Putin is basically saying, well, you want gas? Well, maybe we'll sell it to you, but it's 10 times the price it was last year. And so these big companies that want to produce cars, they need dense energy. They can't smelt metal and melt down molds for Mercedes in Germany without really solid hot fuel. That doesn't come from sun. It doesn't come from a little turbine turning and generating a little bit. I mean, you need dense energy. So they want to take us backwards with this ESG, environmental, social, and governance crap that is, you know, it's chopping the legs off at the knees of all these economies in the world. And now Europe is having trouble. So you just saw yesterday, and this is the last point I'll make, because it's, I think it's important, is Italy, who's perennially been having problems, or I think the third largest economy in Europe, they've been borrowing and living nice and eating their pastas and pizzas and enjoying their life. And that's what they do in Southern Europe. Meantime, Northern Europe has been working really hard to pay for all that. And nah, they've been okay with it. The Germans are industrious and the Northern Europeans are industrious and they'd like to work. But now, because of what is happening with energy, there's going to be massive layoffs in some of these manufacturing companies that need a lot of energy because they can't afford it. And they're also telling the people, hey, we're going to have to ask you to cut back on your energy, snuggle up a little bit more, take fewer showers, you know, turn your thermostats down this winter so that you don't use as much fuel. Burn wood. That's like what we did 500 years ago for heat. Burn wood. And by the way, when you burn wood, it puts out tons of CO2 and other emissions into the atmosphere. It's not like it's better than gas or hydrocarbon. So we're going backwards. We're just not smart as humans. We do stupid things. So all of this is starting to reflect itself into the system. And now it's not just a recession in the United States. It's not just a recession in Britain. It's not just a recession in Japan. It's not just a recession in Europe. It's contagious and it's happening everywhere. I don't know where it's going to shake out. I'm just giving you a warning that it's going to shake out. And so I think at the end of the day, the big corporations, the big banks, the big government policies are doing this on purpose. I really do. They can't be this stupid, right? You and I can look at each other and go, that doesn't make sense. Just print money out of thin air and it'll all be okay. Like you and I can look at each other and say that, but apparently they can't. I don't believe it. I think they're smarter than that. And I think they're making stupid decisions upon stupid decisions upon stupid decisions. And they're breaking the entire system. Sorry about the bad news. I'm really an optimist. So let's talk optimistically really quickly about what you can do about it. Well, the best thing to do really is to be in hard assets, things that are going to hedge inflation. You know, if you live in a house, you live in a house. A house is worth one house, whether the house is worth $400,000 or $1 million. It doesn't matter if you're living in the house. If you have an asset that's paying you cash flow, which I believe you should have, then that cash flow keeps coming in. Now, the cash is worth less because we're debasing our currency. That's a different issue, but at least you have cash flow coming in so that you can pay your bills. We have a program called the Cash Flow Machine, and I talk about it every once in a while about how you can make safe, reliable income in the market. I think you need to have something that builds you cash because our economy is faltering and there may not be the jobs that we think that there are coming up soon. All right. Other assets that are hedging inflation. Well, a lot of people believe in gold. Gold's been relatively flat for 10 years. So I don't know why people still believe in gold. I think we have a new form of gold now called Bitcoin. And I think that's the digital gold. And I think maybe everybody should have a little of that. So be smart, be in assets. I wouldn't be in bonds right now, guys. Bonds have declined, I don't know, 20, 30% this year. And the more they raise rates, which you're telling us they're doing, the more those bonds are going to decline. So why be in bonds if you can help it? It's been a 40-year bull market to be in the U.S. Treasury bond market. And I think that bull market is over. And I think the Fed is telling us it's over. Why don't we listen to them? So de-emphasizing bonds is what I've told a lot of my clients to do. I'm not necessarily saying you should do it. You should seek some professional advice. But I think you need to be in something that, you know, that hedges inflation. That's assets. You need to be in something that gives you cash flow. That's some kind of a program that you know, you either a high dividend program, but watch out for that because high dividends can chop you off too when you know the companies start to fail and when the economies start to fail. Those high dividend things, as we're starting to see, are not good. All right, enough for me. I wanted to give you the news of the world of what's going on in the economies. I find it really interesting, and I hope it comes down to a macro scale for you, and you can decide what to do about it. in the future and in your own finances. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Wealth Architect Podcast. Hope to see you next time. Remember, never give up your power and your health, your wealth, or your time. Have a great day.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect Podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.